If it is going to be a godly marriage, the truth has to be in that marriage. And one of the things we tell engaged couples as we're doing marriage counseling, prepare yourselves. This time, oh, we got this. The only difference that's going to change is that piece of paper. And we're letting them know, no. Once you say, I do, I will, I try, all hell breaks loose, because one thing we have found out, the enemy, the devil, does not like marriage. Why does he hate marriage? Because the Bible says, if any two come together, touching and agreeing on anything, it shall be done in heaven and in the earth. He knows the power of agreement between that husband and that wife. There is no greater power of agreement. Yes, there's power of agreement, you know, between the doctor and the patient and, you know, all of that, the boss and the employee and the teacher and the student and all of that stuff. But there is no stronger power of agreement than that husband and that wife. When that husband and that wife come together, unified as one flesh, praying one thing, believing one thing, having the same amount of faith and hope, God has nothing to do but move on their behalf. Why? Because that's one of the truths of marriage, that when that husband and that wife come together as one flesh and they are unified, there is nothing that God will withhold from that marriage, from that household. So what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is, when you see the aspects of a godly marriage taking place, when you see the truth of a godly marriage in operation, you're going to see a family that's blessed. You're going to see a family that's prosperous. You're going to see a family that's healthy. You're going to see a family that's walking in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. You're going to find that father that's leading his family to church, that's teaching his family how to pray, that's teaching his family how to fast, that's washing his wife in the word of God and presenting her, I might be getting a little further, presenting herself as a glorious church. That's part of one of his eight things. Wives, you have four. Husbands, you have eight. Amen. What you got to say, Apostle?
Well, since you started, you're focusing in on verse number 25, it looks like, here with the husbands. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What I want to say here is, the kingdom of God is based on a principle of sowing and reaping. And I heard my husband say how us as women, a lot of us have issues with the word obey, and we have issues with the word submit. And he began to break down what obey really means. It's the respect and reverence and honoring your husband. What I can see here is that there's an investment, there's a sowing that goes into our lives as the female part of that marriage that's supposed to be going into our lives. I'll put it that way. From the man, the love is supposed to be sown into our lives. It's supposed to be invested into our lives in the same way that Jesus Christ made an investment for the church. For us, those that want him as their Lord and Savior. And so with that sowing and with that investment into our lives, when we get that, men, when we get that, husbands, when we get that unconditional love, something happens. When we get what we need, hallelujah, as far as our producing in that marriage, then we can have what you need to come for. Are you with me?
Amen.
Because the Bible says, as a result, somebody say as a result.
As a result.
As a result of this husband, the one that found the wife, the Bible said he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord. That husband invested in his wife. It says to sanctify, that he might sanctify and cleanse. If there are some issues, if there's some shortcoming, if there's some attitude, like you were saying earlier about the female that might say, I don't feel like respecting him. He did something I didn't like or whatever. Well, that unconditional love, that's the kind of love that Jesus had for the church. And no, when she gets attitude, husbands, what you gonna do? Talk trash to her? Talk bad to her? Put her down? Cuss her out, maybe? No. You're gonna love her. You're gonna show her with that love how to be changed. How to walk right. Hallelujah. You're gonna melt her heart with that love. Glory to God. You're gonna woo her like we talked about on last week. Hallelujah. You're gonna convince her. You're gonna influence her. You're gonna call her from that attitude. You're gonna call her. You're gonna lead her away. Hallelujah. From that attitude that she's in. You're gonna make her feel, hallelujah, the love. Like she's somebody. In spite of the fact that she may be upset with you and she don't want to give you that reverence right then, you're not going to respond, hallelujah, in the way that a person in the flesh might respond. But you're going to respond like that man in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Like Christ will respond, hallelujah, to the church when they're in trouble. Hallelujah. He comes and he pulls them out of the muck. He pulls them out. He helps them, hallelujah, become more developed, hallelujah, in whatever it is that they need development in. And the Bible says that he sanctifies that wife. He sanctifies that wife. Hallelujah, and cleanse it. Glory to God. Washes with the water of the word. How? By you walking in the word. You're walking in the word. What's the word? Jesus Christ. You're walking in him. You're walking as he does. Glory to God. And before you know it, you got that reverence. That return, that reaping. You're going to reap. That's a reaping situation that's going on. That sanctification that you're looking for, that cleansing that you're looking for, that reverence that you're looking for, hallelujah, that honor that you're looking for, that respect that you're looking for, You're going to reap it. You're going to receive it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because now, hallelujah, that woman's heart is melted. Oh, my God. He's loving me anyway. Oh, my God. And after a while, guess what? I'm telling you, I'm sorry. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, I messed up. And that's what the church is going to do. Repent. Say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. I don't want to treat you that way. Look how wonderful you're treating me. Look how beautifully you're treating me. Look how lovingly you're treating me. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to share that was on my heart. To let it be known, ladies. Hallelujah. But somebody say, well, what if he don't, but what if I got a husband that's not loving me like Christ loved the church? Well, I got scripture for you on that too. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe you're looking at 1 Peter chapter 3. It'll help you out some. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let you know, even if they're not walking in the word, they can be one. The man can be won. He can be won over by your chaste conversation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there's an answer to keep your marriage unified. There's an answer to keep that marriage, hallelujah, pleasing in the sight of God. Because we're all both growing in this relationship. We're both growing, hallelujah, in the Lord. We're both growing, hallelujah. And so the washing of the water of the word, if we're in the word, go specifically for that subject in the word. Find out really. Say, hey, I'm a husband. Let me go in the word and find out what the Bible really says about my role. My husband was speaking about the roles. My role, my duties, how God wants me to be in this marriage. Hallelujah. And ladies, go to the word. Now, when you start talking about, I ain't trying to hear that. I'm not trying to hear that. So obey, submit. Well, guess who you're really coming against? You're really coming against the word, Jesus Christ. You're coming against, hallelujah, the husband of the church. Hallelujah, somebody. And you're dividing up your house. You're dividing up your relationship with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, if we go all the way back to Genesis, I mean, we'll see how, amen, this thing's supposed to work. Glory to God. That man was on the scene with God before he had, hallelujah, a wife. And so the relationship with him and God came about first. You got to know the Lord. You got to know how to love him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Before you can be ready and prepared for a relationship with, hallelujah, your significant other. Praise God. So that's where you learn how to be that loving husband, walking with Christ, spending time with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listening to his instruction, listening to his direction. Glory to God. Worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And hallelujah says, then you'll find your wife. Glory to God. That means discover. That word find means discover. It doesn't mean that you are actively looking for a wife. It's like she's presented to you in a revealing type way, or in a discovering type way. You come upon her as you walk with Christ. Because as you walk with Christ, you're on that right path. And if you're on that right path, whatever he has for you is for you. Because that's the path he's got for you. Come on, somebody. Praise God. And so I wanted to just share that. Amen. Since you want to talk about the husbands right now, loving their wives. Hallelujah. And so we, as you invest that love in us, that love will come back to you even in a greater way. Praise God. And as we will love you, and it'll just be reciprocated. It'll just be reciprocated. And everything starts to become more beautiful, and you get to be more intimate, and you get to know one another a lot better. And you do get on that place of agreement, praise God, amen, where things will happen for you in your marriage, glory to God, that you never expected to happen in your marriage, because the power of God in that spirit of agreement, hallelujah, is manifesting itself, and there's nothing greater than God's power. Hallelujah. So, amen. We're going to end it right there. How about that? Amen. We're going to end it right there. And we're going to ask you to continue to give us feedback. Let us know how you're being blessed. Amen. And we want you to remember that today is another day of miracles. God bless you. Yeah, that's it right there.
I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love, yes I do.
WTAN Clearwater,
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City,
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills,
FM 104.3.
Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the
Good afternoon, everyone. It's time for Living the Good Life right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are live in the studio with you like we almost always are. And almost always, maybe once a year, we do a rerun. So we are glad to be here with you right now, looking forward to what God wants to get done today. And woo, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Maya, I think I've got your mic on. Let's see. Are you there?
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Hi.
Hi. James, your husband, is right there. James, talk. Lee, let's see.
Praise the Lord.
All right, we got you. Betty will be calling in just a moment. Nan might join us for a few minutes. We'll see. If not, it'll be the three of you guys. And so looking forward to the show today. Had a great service today.
Amen.
Always love what God gets done, you know. It's just always amazing and sometimes quite surprising. So today was one of those great great Sundays, Maya. Let me get my tongue straightened out here. Go ahead. Don't you think it was one of those great Sundays?
Oh yeah, it was a great Sunday. It's been the past couple of Sundays have been really, really good, but today was really
wild,
really good.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're excited about this show today, too. We're talking about the Spirit of the Living God today in a kind of a unique way, and looking forward to imparting what God has shared with us today. And got a lot going on at Beacon of Hope. If you are new to this ministry, we moved into a new facility last May of 2019. God is blessed. We love our home there, and we are at 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. Easy to find, right off of Hercules. I'm just seeing something. James, I'm sick.
Back feeding.
Am I back feeding?
Yeah.
All right. I am just, the TV in here sometimes is on. Kobe Bryant just died in a helicopter crash. That's what it says. It's coming across the screen right now.
Really?
That's what it's saying.
Can we say a prayer for his family real quick?
Yes. Would you go ahead? Please do that.
Lord, we come before you right now. We don't know the situation. We're just reading what's on the news right now, Lord. And we ask you to have your hand on the family that's being affected here, Lord. Reach down and touch them and let them know that you have their back in this situation, Lord. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Yes, we do. That's horrible. Anytime, especially somebody that everybody knows, you know, mm-hmm. around the globe, that is even worse. Thank you, James, for praying. We'll pray for the family and so forth. I don't know much about Kobe Bryant's family, but I just know he's a great basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
So we look forward to some of you joining us sometime for service in our new facility at 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater, right off of Hercules between Sunset Point and Drew. So easy to find. So anyway, we are in a series entitled Developing Trust, because that's what it's all about, that we develop trust in God and that we grow. Maya, why is it so important to develop trust and grow? What's that about anyway?
Because if you don't trust God, it makes life a lot harder.
Yes.
Amen.
It does.
It makes life a lot darker.
Right.
And so we need to put
What do you mean by darker?
Well, I know when I'm not walking in the path that I'm supposed to be walking, when I'm putting other things first.
Right.
And as much faith as I have, that I know that I have.
Sure.
There are times where I know he has bigger things for me.
Absolutely.
But during my circumstances and my darkness, I don't see it.
So. Yeah, when we're going through a rough time, it is hard sometimes to distinguish what is actually the truth or what the devil's trying to feed to our minds. You know mm-hmm. what I mean, Maya?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Even when we're walking in line
right.
with God, sometimes we get a little cocky. And sure. we're like, I read my Bible every day. I'm going to church whenever the doors are open or whenever I can get there. Me and God are good right now. It's like we become complacent.
Yes.
I think that's the word.
That's
content with this life. And he has to kind of throw a wrench into it and be like, oh, yeah, you're getting a little cocky there. Let me bring you back around to bring myself glory again, because that's where it needs to be.
That's exactly
not
right.
On you.
It all needs to be.
It sounds like you're talking about your husband there.
Not really. But, you know.
James and Maya are husband and wife here. So, James, we all walk this walk, and a lot of times it is difficult. And this learning to trust God more, why is that so important?
Firsthand experience for me, you know, my new job I just got.
Yeah.
It was to trust. I can tell you this. The first week or two that I was out of work, I had work, I picked up and whatever. I was here and there, the bills were being met, food was on the table, blah, 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 blah. And it was all me. It was all me going out hunting for my work. It was all me doing these little things. You know, I was walking around telling people, you know, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. But yet I was intervening on God's plan.
Uh-huh. Okay.
you know, because I wouldn't sit down and pray about jobs. I wouldn't sit down and, you know, I would just let, if it come in front of me, I was chasing it.
Yeah.
And that trust and that love, if I wouldn't have walked through that dark part with those small, petty jobs or, you know, even the good one.
Sure.
I did land it, you know, it was paying me $18 an hour.
Yeah.
But I knew it wasn't where God wanted
me. Wasn't where God wanted you. Yeah, sure.
So, and, you know, I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped chasing. I stopped right. chasing every little lead I had for a decent job. And it took about a week.
Yeah.
About a week after I stopped chasing and I stopped running around telling people, oh, God's got this, God's got this.
Sure.
I stopped telling people that and I started just believing it.
Right.
And
believing.
Yeah, so there was my arrogance, you know. It was my arrogance about my God. And yes, we should have some of that, and I do believe. But my arrogance was in the fact that I he was going to use what I had already to get me what I needed.
Sure.
And in fact, it was something completely opposite that landed me my job.
Okay.
Which is surprising.
And it happens that way sometimes, doesn't it? That our provision comes in a way we least expect it.
Yes, ma'am. It come. It was out of the blue.
Wow.
Completely out of blue. It wasn't nothing I chased or tracked or anything like that. There was two job opportunities presented me at the same time, and the funny thing is if I would have took the other one, I probably would have made more money in the short term period. But my happiness wouldn't have been there.
Wow.
I enjoy my new job. I haven't even put in a full week's worth of work yet because of circumstances. But
so far, so good.
My arrogance that I gave to God and my pride about my situation that, I know I can build a house from the ground up. That played into it. And
yeah.
I had to, God had to step on me. You know, and say, hey, you know, that's not you. That's not you. That's me working in your life. You know, quit trying to claim what I did.
We need to be reminded, don't you think, from time to time that
he did.
That it's not in our ability at all. That's where trust comes in. That God has to take over. We trust Betty. You're on the line right now, right,
Miss Betty?
Yes. Can you hear me? I've got a new electronic device. Can you hear me?
You have a new
Betty.
Electronic device. She's got a phone, finally. No.
Yay.
Okay, good, Betty.
Hi, darlings. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Welcome to the show, Betty Thomas.
Yeah, it's cold. I'm cold.
She's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So she gets she takes every opportunity to remind us how she's suffering and we're not. So
yeah, I want a pity party.
You want a pity party? We can provide it.
I want a pity party.
So maybe this song's for you. We're going to start with this song. maybe it is. I think it is by Wren Collective. And the song is Counting Every Blessing, one of my favorite ones. For Betty. Love it.
Thank you. I
was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing. Oh, you are good to me.
For your goodness, I will ever praise you. Oh, you are good to me. Oh, you are good to me. Sing it out now. Sing it loud. Oh, you are good to me, even in the dark. Oh, you are good to me. Lift your voices. Oh, you are good to me all the time. Oh, you are good to me.
Oh, God, you are good to us. I love that song. I love one of those lines right at the end. For your goodness, I will ever praise you. That's what we should be doing, praising him for our good, for his goodness in our lives. Let me get your mic on, Nan. You said God gave you a poem during that song?
Yes, he did. It's called Count All the Blessings That You Have. I have given each and every one of them to you. Always look to me with appreciation. That is what you really need to always do. Share your story with others in your life. They need to know I'll do the same for them. They need to have a relationship with Jesus, and upon me always look to and depend. I so delight to bless my wonderful children. Always remember that I'm in what you receive. So share with those that you know these blessings in your life they will see.
Amen. Woo! That goes right along with one of the lines I wrote down in that song, counting every blessings, letting go and trusting when I cannot see, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Maya? That's what it's all about, because so often we don't understand what's happening or why it's happening, right?
Usually, I never understand what's okay. happening or,
right.
or story of my life
right.
or what's happening, but I know that honestly, just trusting,
yes,
even when I really don't want to,
right,
which is probably sounds horrible, but it's honesty,
right?
I know I'm supposed to trust him because he's gonna lead me in the direction that I need to at the 12th hour every time, but because I know that, sometimes I just don't want to.
Well, I think we're all kind of like that, and I think we all kind of think, really, I think I can just work this, I don't need to bother God. Mm-hmm. James, how many times have we heard that through the years from people around us?
You got me on?
Oh, now okay. I do.
You hear it from people that you can work through it. You know, people encourage you by just saying, keep your head up.
Right.
You can make your way through this. You can do this. You can do that. And the Bible tells us that, you know, all things good are through God.
Yes. Yes. Is good.
So you have to... It's not you. It's not your own will, not your own power, not your own might, mm-hmm. but through God, that whatever good things happen to you, whatever blessings
yes.
you have, it's God. It's God with his hand in that moment.
Yes.
That time. He's been waiting for that second to show himself for you and to you. And whether you recognize it or not, you know, that's purely on you.
Right.
That's free will.
We've got to learn to trust. This is not necessarily an easy thing to do. Betty,
no,
you want to comment on this? Because we all think it's kind of hard sometimes, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. That phrase from that song, very important, has a lot to do with this topic today. Go ahead.
It is, and, you know, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit that continues to keep us moving forward, even when we can't see anything, we can't hear anything that's going on, but we know that he is working in the background. And it is tough. It's hard. I know some of the listeners are saying, oh, you guys have got it pretty easy, you know. It's like, no, you know what? We pray, we praise, and we work hard. And it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of downtime. And when I talk downtime, I'm talking down on your knees. Surrendering
right,
to God
exactly.
And telling him,
yep.
Lord God, take me out of it. And, you know, I just take, you know, less of me, Lord God,
yes.
and more of you.
Right.
and he will see you through. All of us have been through times where we think, Lord God, where are you? I just can't seem to get my feet on solid ground. But we have to remember that he's the rock. He's our salvation.
Amen.
That he is the person that we lean to. And, you know, the closer we lean into him, the closer he gets to us.
Oh, amen.
That's what we do. We just keep moving on and keep leaning. And,
right.
Learning to lean on the everlasting arms.
Amen, the everlasting arms. And so many times things happen in life we don't understand. You know, that's life. There's things that just happen. And we are sometimes left with questions, Maya, that we don't understand. God, okay, how come this or how come that? I just told you I saw this headlines about Kobe Bryant. It now is saying the multiple people were killed with him, that the helicopter burst into flames. Mm. So don't know any other details than that. Kobe Bryant was killed this morning in a helicopter crash in California, along with multiple people, it is saying on the headlines here.
Lord.
Yes, very, very sad. So we before you came on, Betty, James prayed for the families, and now since it's multiple people, I'm sure there's a lot of other families involved, not just one. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we just pray for all of these people that have suffered this huge loss this morning in California.
Lord. Oh, God, may your peace and comfort be with them.
Amen. Amen.
The arms and compassion wrapped around them.
You know, it's just so hard sometimes to understand why certain things happen in life, right? And this is an example. But we've all had things in our lives, maybe not something like this, but we've had things that we don't understand, James. I mean, things that happen and we just like, okay, why did this happen to me? Or why did this happen to this person I love so much or whatever? Do you want to comment on that?
I was kind of dealing with this issue, I believe it was about 2 weeks ago. And we got to remember, God is a God of love and mercy and kindness, but he's also a God of judgment.
Yeah,
we have to remember that. And when you're not walking your path, and for me, I'm guilty of this, and I see it in my everyday walk with God. I see my separation. I see when I'm not reading my Bible. I see when I'm not praying. And, you know, God expects us to be devoted. He does.
He does.
You know, when you expect him blessings and you expect, you know, him to have your hand on your life, well, he expects things too.
But there's a lot of consequences, which a lot of people can say, okay, that's judgment. A lot of times we bring it on ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
By our own behavior, by our own turning away from God. And somebody may say, well, there's consequences for actions, and there are. Maya, do you want to comment on any of that? Because you're right, James.
I feel like even, this is going to probably come out kind of crazy, but even when we are walking in our path,
right,
God still throws things at us, either just to wake us up, and that also can bring up the question of why are you doing this? I've been following you. I've been doing what you need me to do, and it may not necessarily be for us individually, right, but from the people around us, so that he can be shown through us to others around us, where we take it, we internalize it, if that's the right word to use, when really it may not even be for us. He's trying to get, like when James had lost his job a month or so ago, I felt the repercussion of it because we're married, we're one.
Sure.
You know, he hurts, I hurt.
Right, sure.
He's happy, I'm happy. So God may have not necessarily been testing me at that point. He was testing James, but I still felt it, if that makes sense.
Which takes me right to James chapter 1, verse 2, one of the most profound verses, I think, in the Bible on this topic. Count it all joy when you encounter tests or trials of any sort. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren. This is James 1:2. Whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfast and patience. And then let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play. Do a thorough work so that you may be people that are perfectly and fully developed, lacking in nothing. So there you go. So what happens is so many times people blame God for circumstances, and a lot of times it is just the own consequences to our own behavior.
Amen.
Or just things happen. You know, we live in a fallen world, and things happen. There's diseases, etc. In the meantime, we have to learn to trust God in the middle of all this. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to talk about Saul. There's, speaking of consequences, because last week we talked about Saul's disobedience and how Saul, instead of doing exactly what God told him to do, and you can go back and listen to last week's show at YouTube/Tantalk Radio/Living the Good Life, which is the name of the show, and then last week's date, which would have been the 19th, I believe. So, yeah, the 19th. So you can go back and listen to that, January 19th of 2020. So there were consequences because Saul chose to do his own thing, Maya. Instead of, doing exactly what God said through the prophet Samuel, Saul thought, well, you know, I'll just do it this way. I'll just not exactly do it right because this way it'll benefit me if I do it this way, right?
He kind of did it right.
He kind of did it right. Right, but he did not follow implicitly. And Maya, when we get into those things, it's like, it's our desires that tend to take over, you know?
Mm-hmm. Then he went and blamed the people.
Then he blamed the people.
Yes. Because
blame shifting.
Well, I know I did wrong, but it's not entirely my fault.
Right.
I wasn't
doing it alone. The people made me do it, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. So blame shifting, you know? But there were consequences to that because this was a test for Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And so back to your point, James, there are those times we have these tests in our lives and at the time, we are like, I don't know why this has happened to me. And then later on, we get a better perspective a lot of times, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. If you take me back and put me in the moment that I was a month ago.
Right.
And I think it was a month ago we were here and I was talking
about
it.
Yeah, I think you were.
Actually, it was. It was actually a month ago, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you go back to that radio mm-hmm. conversation we had mm-hmm. and on there. And my faith at that point about my job was low. It really was. I remember the show. I was hurting inside.
Yeah, I remember you were.
I was wondering.
You did good,
though,
I remember.
I believe that show was the start. That being here that day.
Praise God.
Was the start of, because it was about 2 weeks after that.
Mm-hmm.
A week and a half. About 10 to 14 days after that. I seriously started that day. I recognized what I was doing wrong.
Okay. Praise God. All right.
And I started the next day my steps of getting back to where I needed to be.
Praise
getting that
God.
Trust back, getting that faith back. Praising God in the fact that I didn't have the money to cover my truck payment. Praising God in the fact that my electric bill was coming up and I knew he was going to cover it. I just didn't know how
he was going to do it.
You know?
Oh, been there so many times myself.
And I, you know, when I started that the next morning, you know, for my Bible reading and my prayers, I started the next morning because God had, that day, that Sunday, I remember mm-hmm. leaving mm-hmm. here feeling like, that was what you were doing wrong, James.
Right.
That's what you were. So I had to praise him.
Yeah.
You know,
in the midst
him.
In the midst of it.
In the midst of the battle. And
right.
That's where that's.
Yeah. But you see, Saul, as we start chapter 16, he didn't seem to learn anything from this. He went from bad to worse.
Mm-hmm.
Betty, you want to comment on these concepts that we're talking about today, about the testing and the times of training that we're in? We're in the school of the Holy Spirit, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this several weeks ago about God's obedience and how that we need to try to stay, you know, on the path that he wants us on. But a lot of times our free will gets us in trouble. You know, I can do it better than what God can, you know, and that's where we talked about the waiting room, is that God, in that time that even that James had to wait, there are times that you and I have waited, there's times that Nan and Maya have waited, and we've waited, and we've waited. And we've waited. And
we've had
we just had to put on our big girl pants mm-hmm. and say, and with James, it would be his big boy pants.
Right, and, exactly.
is that we have to understand that obedience is what God wants.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He does.
He wants us to take the wax out of our ears so that we can hear what he's saying, but we continue to go on our own path, you know, we can get off on the dirt road when he wants to keep us on a paved road, which is much more smoother.
Right.
But it takes, and I still believe it takes obedience. It takes
It does.
Courage.
It does.
It takes strength.
Yes.
To fight and to keep on fighting, because people, we've got a race to win.
Right.
God has us where he wants us, but he wants to take us high. We sang a song today in the church that we go to here in Michigan. Lord, take me higher and higher.
Right.
And that's what happens when we begin to let go and let God take over our lives, so that he can, you know, we can lift him higher. But as he's lifted higher, he brings us with him.
Yes.
And that's what happened, you know, in the First Samuel, is that once obedience took over the defiance,
right,
over the disobedience, things began to change.
Amen. God of all my days, casting crowns. He is God of all your days, the good ones, the hard ones, times of struggle, the times where you feel close to God. He's right there.
I came to you with my heart in pieces and found the God with healing in his hands. I looked to you, drowning in my questions, and found the God who holds all wisdom. And I trusted you and stepped out on the ocean. You caught my hand among the waves, 'cause you're the God of all my days.
Change, and they do, don't they? But God, you stay the same. You're the God of all my days. Nan, do you have a poem there?
I do.
Go ahead.
I see the feelings that you have right now, I know all that you feel deep within. Trust that I am with you all the time, and that upon me you are to depend. It may seem so difficult for you at times, but always know that I am there. Bring your needs and desires to me. Read my word as you enter into prayer. I love you with an everlasting love. I will help you in all the issues that you face. I am always with you, precious one. You will make it by my wonderful grace.
That's powerful. And that is such a word. Wow. Amen. Thank you, Nan, for sharing that. Wow. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, this is after Saul's disobedience in 1 Samuel 15. How long will you mourn for Saul? Why was Samuel the prophet mourning for Saul? Because Saul had disobeyed God, right? And God had told Samuel the prophet, Saul's done. Now, he may not be done like he's, you know, he's still king right now. But he was done in God's eyes, James. Why? Why was he done in God's eyes?
For his disobedience.
Right.
Well, remember, this is a man chosen by man.
By man.
This wasn't a man chosen by God. This
man chosen by man.
You know, God let man pick. He let humans pick their king first.
That's right.
He let them go and, you know, make their mistake first.
Right.
You know, he told them what was going to happen. He's gonna take your men and make them their soldiers. He's going to take your land. He's going to take this. He's going to take the best of everything you have.
Right. They didn't believe him. They didn't care. They just wanted a king.
You know, God had given them leaders.
Yes.
He'd given them Moses, Abraham. You know, he'd already done
the prophet Samuel.
You know, he'd already given them leaders. It just wasn't what they wanted.
Yeah.
And in that arrogance, they picked somebody that was about himself.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because other nations around them had kings. So it was almost like, okay, we want a king too. Everybody has king,
right? Yeah, let's be like everybody else.
Let's be like everybody else. And so we see in chapter 15, if you missed last week's show, that's all about Saul's disobedience. Go back and listen to that show. So Samuel is the prophet, and God said to Samuel that he had rejected Saul. Saul was still king right now, and he was for a few years, actually, several years. But he was not the one that God wanted in that position. Mm-hmm. And Samuel was told by God, fill your horn with oil. I will send you to Jesse, the guy from Bethlehem, and I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And I pointed out this verse last week. I pointed it out again today in our service, 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his. Why is that important, Betty? God's looking for our people's hearts who are completely his.
Well, because man looks at our exterior. We look at the outside. We look at the physical part. The Lord looks at our heart. And that's where truth comes from, is our heart. That's where the love and the compassion come from.
Exactly.
It comes so easy to be in the flesh.
Oh, yes. Because that's how we're made, you know.
That's exactly. And that's what happened in 1 Samuel.
Yeah.
Is that the flesh took over.
Yes, yes.
But where God wants us to be truthful. I'm just going to make a point here.
Go ahead, make your point.
I'll make a point here.
Go ahead. why don't we let Betty make a point?
Go, Betty, go.
Is that okay? If Betty makes a point, Maya,
I can't
James.
Wait for her point.
She's going to make a point.
I can't wait.
Don't get too far along because I may forget what my point is.
That's true.
is that it's just like years ago. This is before I actually got really, really serious about the Lord.
Yeah.
And about prayer. Is I would say, I'll pray for you. I never do it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people say that,
you know, just on Facebook, I'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. Hey, prayers going up. Well, let's just take me.
Yeah.
If I'd have been on Facebook years ago, I would have said, yeah, I'll pray for you.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, hugs and kisses.
Right.
Love ya.
Right.
But now, That was direct disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. to God.
Yeah.
He knew, and he kept telling me, this is not good. This is your flesh. This is you trying to prove, you're a prayer warrior. You're doing this. Okay. Not reading my Bible. Telling people, you got to read your word, but when you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
Absolutely.
So if you tell somebody, I'm going to pray for you, you better pray for them. If right. you say, I'm in God's word. Yeah. I'm praising God. It's a falsehood. And God's looking at your heart.
Always.
So, in your heart, you're not really being truthful with God.
Right.
You don't think God don't see that.
Right.
It's just like with Samuel. It's just one of those things where you have got to distinguish the difference between obedience and disobedience.
Exactly.
You've got to crucify the flesh.
Yes.
And it's a tough road to do. It's a tough road to go. But when God gets a hold of you, and in one of those times where you, me, being still, being quiet, and know that He's God, because
right.
He spoke to me more than once, saying, hey, he calls me Betty Lou, listen to me, I want you to be who I created you to be.
Exactly.
And the devil comes to seek, kill, and destroy.
Right.
And he will try to destroy you by disobedience. And
exactly.
I thank God and praise God every day that he got a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me to start being me. And that's why I have such a yearning to pray for people, because all
yes.
of those years I said I would. And didn't.
And now you do.
And now I do it. And it's like, there is nothing that Satan can do to stop this mighty moving force that
right.
we call the prayer ministry.
Right,
to
exactly. Amen.
That
Amen.
We are going to keep on keeping on.
Keep
that
on.
We are going to be obedient. We're going to see missions. We're going to, don't get me started. You get me preaching.
Okay.
But I want to see people be truthful. I want to see people's obedience begin. And once he sees obedience, favor, lifting
exactly.
him higher,
yes.
praising him. It's a miracle of what God can do in
Amen.
Our lives.
Amen.
When we are obedient.
Well, Samuel's obedient, and we see it in 1 Samuel 16, because God said to Samuel, quit mourning. Quit being so sad about Saul. Saul made his decisions.
Mm-hmm.
His bed's, he made his bed. He's got to lay in it, right? And he says, you're going to go anoint the new king. And as we just said, David did really not become king for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this was the plan of God. So Samuel said, well, wait a minute. And this tells you right here, Saul's heart. Because Samuel says, if Saul knows that I'm coming to anoint a new king, he's going to kill me. What does that say about Saul's heart?
He's got bad. A murderous heart.
He has a murderous heart, right? He's got an evil heart.
I would go with pride, because if you're really walking in God's grace and his
right.
His glory, then if David mm-hmm. was supposed to be king, then your pride would allow you to step down.
But
so,
Saul was evil.
Yeah, that pride.
Yeah,
that pride wouldn't let him give up that throne.
Well, and Samuel knew Saul's heart.
Yeah.
He goes, he's going to kill me if I try to do this,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So God had a plan for that. God always has a plan. And he said, go ahead and invite invite Jesse and Jesse's sons to this sacrifice. And I'll tell you the one to anoint as the next king. And so in verse 4 of 1 Samuel 16, if you're just joining us, Samuel does what God tells him to, and he goes to Bethlehem. And there was a baby born in Bethlehem, right?
Mm-hmm.
About 2,000 some years ago. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and they said, wait a minute, did you come in peace? They were afraid, because Samuel's a prophet. Was he coming to put them in their place, rebuke them, tell them they were wrong or something? He goes, no. I came to sacrifice to the Lord. And they said, okay, all right.
But that's a good fear of God right there.
It is, isn't it? Right. It shows right there that they were worried. I mean, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The prophet's coming. Is he going to tell us that we're messing up and we're, you know. And so then he says no. And so Jesse comes in and he calls them to the sacrifice. And Jesse has all these sons. And we're going to talk more about this in a few minutes. But in verse 6, when they came, he looked at the first one, Eliab. And in Samuel's own mind, he goes, this must be him. It's the oldest. Yeah, the oldest usually was. Traditionally, the birthright kid, the person, you know, this one's going to carry on the line. This is the most important child. And this, in verse 7, I love this. And then we're going to play a song and we'll talk more. The Lord said to Samuel, look not on his appearance or at the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so all of Jesse's first 7 sons were passed by, Maya. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. Because God was looking at their hearts.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't very, they didn't have very good hearts, apparently.
Evidently not.
No.
But interesting enough, interesting that God had to remind Samuel, wait a minute, I look at the heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, he also told him in the beginning of the chapter that in Maya's words, he said, okay, I gave you guys your king. You know, you guys picked your own king. Now I'm going to provide myself a king.
The right guy.
You're done. Go sit down. It's my turn. Pretty much.
You're done.
That's my turn.
You had your turn. Go sit down.
Next note, speaker.
I let you guys do it your way. Now it's time to do it the right way. And he told Samuel to go visit Jesse.
But doesn't this happen in our daily lives so often?
The story of my life.
That we've been given opportunity. Oh, well, you tried it that way, your way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened? Sit down and let me do
what happened doing it your way, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no?
It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Betty, give me a quick comment here before I play the song about doing it our way versus God's way.
Well, you know that old song that Frank Sinatra sang.
We talked about it at lunch.
There he comes.
We talked about that at lunch. I did it my way.
I did it my way.
Oh, Betty, all right. Yes.
I sound a little bit like Frank, didn't I?
Yeah, just exactly like Frank, yes.
Just exactly, yeah.
So
just
beautiful.
Take it down maybe
I couldn't
just
hear
couple,
the speakers are horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Wow.
But, you know, the one thing that we have to remember is that God's way is better than our way.
Right.
Because he knows the plans that he has for us. And that's the cool thing about having God in your life is that he is our director. He's the director of our chorus.
Mm-hmm.
He is the director of our path. And he knows so much better. He can see far ahead, more so than we can, of what, you know, what lies ahead for us. Because
right.
he only wants the best for us.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. And so often we think we know the right way for everything, right?
And that, you know, that goes with the path that they chose Saul, you know, and he let them choose their own people, and he knew the path it was going to take. He even told them the path it was going to take and what was going to happen, and they still chose him.
They wanted the pretty king.
Yeah.
They wanted the pretty king. They did. No, they did. And that'll get us into trouble every time, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
When we think we know the best way for whatever is going on in our lives, how many people have you known in your life who have chosen a mate or a business partner or best friend by that person's looks or their personality or their money or their position, their whatever, and not by their heart? Because the point right here is it's the heart that's the most important thing. James, comment on that before I play this song, please. The heart.
Well, you know, it says in the Bible that the way to see a person's heart is through their eyes. Their eyes tell everything. And I'm 100% believer in that. My wife will tell you, we've been in situations where, you know, people just, if you can't read when somebody's feeding you a line, you need to pray. You really do, because them eyes will tell you their hearts. They will tell you what's coming from their heart. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
The Bible says not what you put in your body, but what comes out of it that follows you, and that's the truth.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and out of your eyes can let you know what's in the heart, because out of the abundance of your heart.
Well, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21, you know. Listen to this song. You're going to love it. I think it really pertains right here. Do it again. Elevation Worship.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won.
Right?